Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number. That could do that, or would do that, or it could do that, I guess. Either way, you know, if you don't want to call in, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so sure enough, a new one popped up over there this morning, so get yourself over there, check that out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is, oh, come on, we know this one now, at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
He's Dan the Man with three E's.
All right, Dan, so we had some proposed Major League Baseball rule changes, and I wanted to go over some of them with you, and we can kind of share our opinions on these. I think there's five or six or maybe seven. I don't know how many I actually have here in this article, but I'll go over them. They start with all pitchers would have to face a minimum of three batters. This, of course, would cut down on pitching changes and probably eliminate that one batter lefty specialist as a bullpen guy. You in on this or not?
Yeah, I'm in on it. I didn't really see an issue with that. When I saw that one, I thought you might like it.
You know, I honestly think three is too many. You know, I can see you want to go with two. I'm okay with that because I do get tired of the, well, we're going to bring this lefty in. You know, I mean, you can go back to the Wade Miley thing and, you know, what was it, game five of the NLDS. He faced the first batter and they took him out and he was the starter. So, I mean, you know, while it still would have been a joke for him just to face two guys as a starter, that's a little different. But, yeah, I could see going with two. Three, I think, is too much. They did the caveat to this, and it's not mentioned here in this little blurb, is it would be a minimum of three batters unless the inning ended before that. So if he came in to get one batter and the inning ended, he wouldn't have to go back out for two more. But, yeah, I do like some form of this. I think three is just too many. So, but that's just me. Here's the second one.
I think
it's like, oh, wait, what?
I'll let you finish and then tell you what I think again.
Oh, no. Well, it's about that same rule. Go ahead, and we'll because I'm going to change rules on here.
No, I mean, I think it's, I think that's just to eliminate you know, the opener only going against one pitcher to start the game.
Well, you know that in the fact that, I mean, you know, they want to see the play, and pitching changes take time. So,
I mean, if a pitcher comes in and bottom of the sixth and, you know, two outs and he pitches, gets the guy out, then it's over.
Yeah. You know, I mean, come on, how many games have you been to where, you know, especially now with as specialized as the game in where, you know, game has become where literally you bring in three different pitchers to face three different batters and the inning takes 35 minutes and most of it is warm-up pitches. So, you know, I can understand them wanting to avoid that because I don't want to watch that.
No, and that's one of the things maybe they should look after. You know, doing away with is if he's been in the bullpen warming up, what the hell does he need to come out on the mound and throw more than five pitches for?
Yeah, so, But yeah, I do like this. Like I said, I like this in some form. I just think three is too many. So, all right, here's the second one. It says the league could implement a 20-second pitch clock to encourage pitchers, and in quotations they put, and hitters, to pick up the pace. Commissioner Rob Manfred can make this change unilaterally, but would prefer to have the union on board. All right, what do you think of a clock?
We talked about it before. The youngins are doing it. I can't find the article I was reading earlier today, so I'm lost because Ken Rosenthal only went over the DH and the first rule, but, you know, they're implementing the clock in minor leagues and college, so, you know, if Manfred doesn't just bring it in, you know, if they just let the bargaining bring it in, everyone will be up to that speed anyways. I don't think it's the game anymore.
Yeah, I don't have a big deal with this. I don't know how many pitchers take more than 20 seconds.
Not many, and a lot of times when they do, it's, you know, starting pitcher later towards the end of the game that he's in,
yeah. And
he's already thrown, you know, 12 pitches that have been fouled off. That's usually when they take longer.
So, yeah, and, you know, I mean, obviously I would be interested to know when does the clock start, you know, after, you know, a guy makes an out? Does it start as soon as the ball gets back to the pitcher? Does it start as soon as he gets back under the dirt area of the mound? You know, I mean, there's obviously some more things that I kind of need to know here before I'm in and out on this. But, you know, I mean, I don't have a problem if they make the guys work a little faster. That's not a big deal to me. So,
from my understanding, it was supposed to be when the pitcher has the ball in his glove, foot on the rubber, and the batter's in the batter's box.
Yeah, see, that's not going to really speed anything up because, you know, pitchers are still going to walk around and, you know, do whatever they're going to do. So, but, all right, well, here's the next one. Now, this is the union would like to alter the league calendar to have one trade deadline before the All-Star break. They believe this would force the teams to be more active in the off-season rather than shopping for bargains in the summer. And just a reminder for anybody out there, you know, baseball currently has a July 31st deadline, but of course we all know trades can be made after if a player clears waivers. You on board with this, Dan? You like an earlier deadline?
Yes and no. I mean, I honestly like your idea better. Well, number one, the one idea we've heard about is just, well, you know, it's just eliminating the waivers. Set one deadline, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, quit the waiver crap because it's stupid. But I like your idea that you brought up yesterday or the day before that you have until... You know, I mean, ideally, where would you put it, January 31st?
Well, I kind of made it this pitchers and catchers report, you know, so you figure the second week of February, you know.
Yeah, I like January 31st better.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you could do that because then it's not a moving date because they don't always report on the same day.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of use that as my guideline. So, but, yeah, you know, I don't really think they need to move the deadline up. I just think July 31st should be it. You know, once that's it, you're done. You can't make any more deals because the waiver thing just sucks.
It's stupid.
So, yeah. You know, it's like you call it a trade deadline, and then all of a sudden there's more trade. You know, just make it a deadline. That's it. That's all. Sorry you didn't make a deal. You've got to go with what you got. So... But, yeah, I don't think it needs to be before the All-Star break. But, all right, now, I haven't heard anyone talk about this today, so you and I will be the first guys that I've heard address this. The union, and I know you and I have actually talked about this quite a bit, would like to see the league address service time manipulation, which, of course, is keeping players in the minors to limit their major league service time, thus delaying their eligibility for arbitration and free agency. You know, I think this is one of the things you and I both agree, if it doesn't happen this way, it's going to be in the next CBA, isn't it?
I mean, it better be. Because it's just, you know, it's annoying on both parts, I think.
Yeah.
Either way you look at it,
Oh.
it's just, it's stupid.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, I can understand. I mean, you know, I know we always use Chris Bryant as an example because the Cubs did it to him. But, you know, the Phillies did it to Mikel Franco. I'll be interesting to see if the Padres do it to Fernando Tatis Jr. You know, and there's a couple other guys like this. You know, I mean, depending on what kind of person you are or who your agent is, man, when I hit free agency, there's a chance I could hold a grudge against them for doing that to me because it took me a year longer to get here. You know, in a case of Chris Bryant, he's going to be losing out on a lot of money because he's going to make more in free agency than he will in arbitration. So, you know, I could see that being an issue when, you know, it's kind of like, well, okay, I'm a free agent now. Okay, well, you guys can go scratch because you shafted me. So, you know, either that or I'm going to try to hold them up for more money to make up for it. I mean, I, you know, again, I don't know how many players are that petty, but some of those agents are. So. But, yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, I know you and I have addressed that a bunch of times, so we don't have to get into it too long. I am surprised. This is this article I found. This is actually the last one they address here, but I know there's more that you and I can go over. It says the league could reverse the current incentives for tanking by rewarding overachieving teams with better draft status and punishing teams that lose 90 or more games in consecutive seasons. How you feel about that?
I like it and I don't like it. I think that one's teetering. I think it won't be a change that will happen in the next CBA. I think it'll take a lot longer to really balance that one out. But I do like that, you know, a team that overachieves, they'll get a better incentive.
Yeah, now this is a rule, if it's worded correctly and put into the correct form, I would really like, you know, because, you know, we're looking at it now. I mean, how many teams just off of the top of your head right now, Dan, get off as not going to be contending this year because they're rebuilding?
Florida, just right off Florida.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, you can. I mean, you and I could probably sit here and eliminate a minimum of 25 teams as playoff contenders because they're in some form of rebuild. You know, I mean, you mentioned the Marlins. You can't forget the Orioles. The White Sox are still going through theirs. You know, the Reds, while they look better, are still going through theirs. The Padres, the Giants, you know, just the way it's rolling here. I mean, again, worded correctly, I think this could be a really good rule because, you know, there are teams out there that don't tank, and they should get something for it instead of sitting in the back at, you know, 32 or 30, whatever they're at for the draft and, you know, being there while these other teams who are just giving it away, you know, are getting all the, you know, are well, allegedly getting the good young players. A lot of the reason they're down in these positions is because they don't know how to draft and they're just not developing their players. So, but, yeah, I in some way, you know, shape or form, I do like this rule. They just have to kind of tweak it a little for me, I think, and let me know how it's going to be involved or invoked, I should say.
Yeah, well, I mean, I like the way they put where they add in the consecutive. You know, if you consecutively are 90 plus. But, you know, maybe that's where the lottery comes in and it's. You know, not like the NBA lottery at all, where just, you know, the worst five teams, but you take the best four teams and the worst two teams.
Yeah.
That was just random numbers I picked, but.
So, yeah, you know, I would like to see that. And, this next one here, you know, as much as I hate this, Dan, I think this is going to be inevitable. The designated hitter in the National League, yay or nay?
I've accepted it.
Yeah, I'm kind of at that point. I heard Chris Rose give the stupidest comparison for this today. He was complaining about the World Series because, in reality, they use two different sets of rules. In the American League, you get the DH. In the National League, you don't. He actually tried to compare it to the NBA. But what the moron, for some reason, didn't understand, and you would think a sports guy like him would figure it out, but I guess he was just too big an idiot. In the American League, they play with the designated hitter all year. In the National League, they don't. In the NBA, every team plays by the same rules. In the NFL, the NHL, the other major sports, they all play by the same rules. Baseball is the only different one, which is part of the reason I like it. I understand what they're getting to here because with the frailty of pitchers now, which I still don't understand how every pitcher has a breakdown. It just doesn't make sense to me. I think I would start to question my conditioning coaches at this point. But, you know, it's going to have to happen. I'm going to hate it. You know, the union is going to love it because it's going to give the older players a way to hang on and extend their careers. So, yeah, I think we're just stuck with, you know, we're stuck with this happening sooner rather than later. You know, if it's not put in, I know the union wanted it put in for this year. But, yeah, if it's not in by 2020, it'll be in, you know, 2021 easily. So, I mean, how soon do you see this coming in?
Yeah, I see this in the next collective bargaining because they're not going to get the one thing you're going to bring up soon.
So, now, you know, I thought this was an interesting one. They have an expansion of active rosters from 25 to 26. So you would add one position. But the caveat is it has a maximum of 12 pitchers. You in on this?
This is why I think the DH rule will go in, because this one won't. That'll be kind of
the
compromise.
Yeah, they kind of go hand-to-hand, don't they?
Yeah. I wasn't sure if that's where you were going next, but I do like it because you get that added – beat that guy, and then you limit the teams from carrying 15 pitchers.
Yeah, I mean, I do remember games where, you know, teams had 14 pitchers on the roster. So, you know, it was 14 pitchers and 11 position players. You know, and that goes back to where, you know, you have one pitcher who only comes in and gets one guy out, and then he's done for the day. So, you know, I mean, does it have to be that way? No, I'm sure a pitcher could get two outs. It's just how the manager handles the game. But, yeah, I do enjoy, or I should say not say enjoy, but I do like the idea of it capping it at 12 like that. You know, and then it also may bring about what a lot of people talked about. Do you think we would see more, you know, pitcher position players, Dan?
I think so. Especially if you have the
this one,
on both sides.
You know, this one didn't make a lot of sense to me because I don't really know how it would change anything, but an extension of the disabled list from 10 games to 15. How would that change anything?
Oh, it's two full weeks.
The only thing I see it as is, you know, when you're on the 10 day, you got to miss 10 games. This would just stretch that out. You know, I mean, do you think it would prevent teams from using the disabled list like they do?
Yeah, I think so. Because now you've taken starter off for three games.
Yeah, you know, maybe that's the plan, is they're looking to, you know, because a lot of teams just use the disabled list as a way to get a pitcher some rest. You know, they throw him on with an alleged, you know, well, he's got a tired shoulder, or, you know, he's got, you know, whatever, he's got cramps or something. So he goes on the 10-day, you know, he makes his start, he goes on the 10-day, he gets his one start, and then he comes back. So it works out to where, you know, he gets a nice respite there. At least with the 15, you know, he would have to miss multiple starts. So maybe if that's their plan, I'm all for it. Otherwise, I don't really understand the setup here. And then it looks like this is the last one I have. A reduction in expanded September rosters from 40 to 28. I don't know how they came up with 28 and just didn't go with 30. But, you know, this has been a point of contention, at least for game announcers, for a while. Are you in to see a reduction?
I don't really know how it makes that big of a deal. You know, I've heard the lame old excuse where, you know, a team at the bottom, like the Astros were back in the day, going up against, you know, a number one, you know, Yankees, and the Yankees losing. You know, that was the complaint, but I don't really see how it makes that big of a difference.
Yeah, you know, I think that was the big thing, you know, is just the fact that, you know, and I mean, it's just scheduling. I mean, there's really nothing you can do about scheduling, but, you know, you run into where it's, you know, the first place Red Sox or the Dodgers or whoever's in first place, and they're basically playing the AAA Orioles or the double and AAA Marlins because they're, you know, they've got 40 guys on their roster and they're not playing anybody who's actually major league caliber yet. So I could see that if you're trying to, you know, if you're the second place team or the, you know, a team trying to chase somebody down in the wild card, I could see where you could be a really big fan of that rule. However they handle it, I'm not going to be too upset whichever way they go. So,
yeah, but what I don't understand about it is, regardless of the fact that you haven't seen these guys, if let's just say the Red Sox, and it's September and you're playing, you know, the Double-A Orioles, because I don't, you know, whatever, and if you can't beat them to win that number one spot to begin with, that's what
happens.
Well,
it's not so much that the Red Sox can't beat them, but, you know, the second-place Yankees who are chasing them, it's kind of giving the Red Sox a free win. You know, because, I mean, obviously, I mean, the double A Orioles probably aren't going to do much against Chris Sale, you know, or David Price, or, you know, whoever the major league starter is, you know, Justin Verlander or whoever you want to throw out there. So, you know, I could see more, you know, for the second place team, or, you know, I mean, imagine if you're one game out of the wild card and it's the last game of the season and the team you're trying to tie with goes up against, you know, some 20-year-old kid who they called up from Double A, and you have to face, you know, just even an average major league pitcher. You know, that's really, you know, while it's the way, you know, it's kind of the breaks of the game, but at least if they adjusted this, there's a chance that they could face a little more solid major league pitcher. So, you know, we'll have to, you know, at least that one would make a little, you know, a little bit of sense to me there, but I don't know. Oh, did you hit your, drop off spot?
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, I mean, that, you know, that's why I could understand, you know, that from the standpoint of, you know, we're trying to catch this damn team and, you know, they're playing, you know, these guys who just basically aren't trying. So, you know, I could see that. But, you know, again, whatever, you know, hell, just limit it to 30. I don't know why the hell you came up with 28. So...
Now, is instant replay not included in this? Because, I mean,
you know,
any fault in the game, which is the biggest one.
Yeah, I didn't see anything listed on it. You know, I'm looking here for, I've been looking for a little more in-depth article, but yeah, that was just kind of the list I found. There doesn't appear to be anything on replay. They did mention something about mound visits, but I thought they already added that in, so.
Well, and the article I read earlier, now that I got dropped off, I can't have internet, talked about being able to sign draft picks that are possible two-way players so that they can secure them in Major League Baseball as opposed to going to football.
Yeah. This is the panic Kyler Murray move, right, is what we call this one?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, because to be fair, there are very few of these guys out there who have talent to play at the highest level in, you know, in two leagues, you know, no matter if it's, you know, baseball and football or, you know, basketball and baseball, however you look at it, it would be very difficult. You know, like, you know, as much as I love Russell Wilson as a Seahawk quarterback, he was a 200 hitter in low class. And the reason that he still hangs around on major league teams is because he's Russell Wilson. It's not because he's talented and he's going to make the major leagues. You know, because it's nice. I think he's property of the Yankees right now. So, you know, they can run him out at spring training, you know, get a little media attention, have him stop by and throw out a first pitch, and, you know, everybody's excited to see him. He's never going to play in the big league as a Major League Baseball player. So, maybe we would get a lot of that. I mean, remember the Padres offered Johnny Manziel a contract, and he hadn't played baseball since, like, Little League. But at least Colin Kaepernick could get another career, right?
Yeah, I don't know why he's so hard up on being in the NFL.
Right now at this point, it's just kind of a statement, I think, more than anything else. But I don't know. How do you like that? I mean, do you care about that? Do you think it would be something that would happen a lot?
I don't think it would happen that often. That, you know, though it does happen, and you know. There's always the bust out. You know, they could bust out either way. You know, but how is that going to be fair to other draft picks? Let's just say a 20-year-old kid is talented enough to go play both, but if he gets drafted in Major League Baseball and then puts himself eligible for the NFL draft, does that take him out of rookie status and now you can sign him to a, you know, a veteran type deal?
Well, you know, I believe if I understood it, he actually on the 40-man roster. So somebody would actually lose their spot on the 40-man roster for this guy who's going to play, you know, he's going to go play football or basketball or whatever, you know, whatever he's going to go play. I mean, I know the majority of these guys play football. I think actually all of these guys have played football, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see, you know, possibly a basketball player, you know, do it, something like that. But, yeah, I mean, could you imagine being the guy who gets cut for this guy who's not even there because they got to put him on the 40-man? So. And, you know, and I don't, you know, I mean, I know everybody's all excited about Kyler Murray, but I honestly don't think he's the next Bo Jackson. I'm not even sure if he's the next Deion Sanders. So.
Anybody want to
hide? You know, we'll see how that works out. I mean, I'm trying to think of other guys who have done it. I mean, I know Brian Jordan did it for a while, and I'm not sure, you know, who else is who else has tried it, but you know, I guess maybe we'll see more guys give it a shot. I don't care. I don't think it's going to be as big a deal as people are making it out to be. So, but yeah. Well, I laughed at this one, Dan. I honestly don't even know how the hell to take this damn thing, because now I am super confused on what the Giants are doing, Dan, because apparently they've now jumped into the Bryce Harper Derby. So after we were, I think just yesterday we were, or 2 days ago, we were talking about them possibly shedding some salary by making a deal with the Yankees, and now they're give a guy $300 million. What the hell is this Farhan Zaheed guy doing there, Dan?
Trying to save his job.
You've got it. You know, I mean, did Sabermetrics tell him that he needed to go get Bryce Harper? Is that what happened?
Yeah, well, the Sabermetric machine. Yeah, you know, it's like a robot. It's like the Sprint commercials. They have a robot.
You know, it spit out that it was like, oh, hey, go get Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I know, well, you know, originally, you know, there was a lot of talk before the season ended last year that the Giants would be players. That was before they made all these changes, and it appeared that they were going to tear everything down. So I don't know. I'm just lost on what the hell they're doing.
Maybe they tore enough of it down, but, you know, if you manipulate the numbers correctly, you know, over the last four and a half, three and three quarters of years, Bryce Harper's had the highest of this or of that. You know, that makes them in the best position. But you know how they do that during the rest of the regular season. The best betting, you know, the best war after the All-Star game through 2 weeks after. You know, so for 14 days, he's got the best of this. So he should be an MVP.
Yeah, you know, the sad part is there's just way too many guys who believe that. And, really just flat-out killing the game. But I keep hoping sooner or later they're going to wake up and realize what they're doing. But, yeah, I'm just kind of baffled. I mean, you know, even if the Giants land him, I don't think it makes him better than the Dodgers or the Rockies. You know, I mean, you're going to pay this guy all this money to get you into third place? You know, I mean, unless you got some participating moves that are, you know, all going to go into action here once you land good old Bryce. I know they need some outfield help, but you know, there's still some other guys floating around out there that they'd probably be better off with.
You know, it's the old field of dreams.
Yeah.
You build it, they will come. But then maybe he realized with what he's doing, he's upsetting an entire fan base that has sold out the stadium for almost, like 4 or 5 years straight.
Yeah, I can understand the outfield thing. I mean, right now, here's their slated outfield, Dan. It would be Chris Shaw in left. He was a first-round draft pick in 2015. Mac Williamson, who I know they've been high on, they think he's going to be a big-time power hitter, but he just hasn't been able to stay healthy. He would be in right, and then Steven Dugar would start in center. They also have Austin Slater, who I know is another guy they were pretty high on, but they, you know, they don't really have that veteran type of outfield presence that, you know, you would kind of look for. So I could understand, you know, you want to grab a veteran guy and, you know, you want to bring him in. I'm okay with that. I'm just not sure if the price tag here is cohesive with what you got going on for this team. You know, I mean, say they sign him for 7 years. Are they going to be ready to win in any of those times? Hey, that never happened. You fall off.
I was moving my phone and I touched the button. 2020 is an even year. You forget about the even.
Yeah. So, you know, but I mean, I think they, you know, they would be better off just going with, you know, a Cargo or an Adam Jones or, you know, even a Gerardo Parra. You know, you get that veteran influence, and, I know Cargo isn't much of a defender, so that could be an issue there possibly, but, you know, Jones and Parra can still pick it. So, you know, I mean, I you could get them on a, you know, a yearly deal with the option and, you know, the buyout or however you want to set it up, you know, see where you are. Cause I just don't see this team as a contender. I mean, not even for the wild card. So I don't know. Like I said, I don't know what the hell this guy's doing.
Well, you know, with the right amount of, I'm sure he has the highest points per game or whatever crazy stat there is that will get them over the hump to win games, right?
Oh, you know, I'm sure, you know, and I mean, obviously they would be better with him, but, you know, I mean, the difference is, great, okay, well, we add him. Now instead of finishing in fourth behind whoever, we finish in third, and we're still 15 games out of, you know, being a contender. So, I mean, is he good enough? They were 16 games under 500. Is he good enough to swing them back to 500?
I think he can help get them close to 500. But, you know, maybe there's a psychological portion of it, too, with Baumgartner coming up free agency in a couple of years, which is probably going to get a boatload of money.
After this year, 2020.
Oh, it's that quick. Wow. I thought we had like two or three.
No.
You know, maybe that's something, you know, something that could help sway Baumgartner to stay or help give the fan base when Baumgartner leaves.
Because the question there would be, all right, well, we bring Bryce in. Now we're carrying another big contract that we have to plug in with, you know, Buster and Cueto and Samardzija and Belt and Crawford and Longoria. You know, would they be able to afford Madison Bumgarner?
I don't think so.
Yeah, you know, because, I mean, everybody has a minimum of 2 years, you know, 19 and 20. And, you know, I mentioned before, Longoria signed till 2022. Posey and Cueto have options for those years. So they're, you know, they put themselves in a bad financial spot. I know you want to keep your guys, you know, and I have no problem with signing Posey, but, you know, you sign Brandon Belt long-term, you sign Brandon Crawford long-term, and again, I get it, they're your guys, but you tied yourself up, and if you're not winning with your guys, you can't get rid of them. So I don't know what they're going to attempt to do or try to do, but, you know, I can't see adding, you know, even if he comes in at $25 million, I can't see adding that salary and then being able to bring Baumgartner back. I'm not sure if Harper's a great player, obviously, but is that a good trade-off for them?
You better hope there's pitching in the minors coming up.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, obviously I know, you know, they have Derek Rodriguez who, you know, had a really good rookie year, but other than that, you know, they don't have a lot of guys hanging around. I thought they were finally going to give Chris Stratton a shot at the rotation, but they went out and they brought back Derek Holland and then they signed Drew Pomeranz. So Stanton's back is, you know, either the top starter in AAA or actually can't because he's out of options. So it looks like he's the long man in the bullpen, but, you know, they, you know, they, sitting, you know, they're not sitting on any big time prospects. So I don't know what the hell they're gonna do. So yeah, that was one of those ones that, I don't have no problem. You want to take a meeting, I'm cool with that. But, I mean, could they really? Do you see them as serious contenders after all this?
Not really. Unless they're able to make that trade with the Yanks to get, Cueto or Samardzija out of their system.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly think they would be better off doing that and taking on, Ellsbury's salary for the 1 year and, sending Cueto off and let the Yankees deal with that contract. But, obviously this guy he allegedly knows what he's doing. So we'll see. I mean, he's never actually been the GM. He was just a bit piece in the Dodger organization. Remember, they had like five guys doing that job. So, we'll have to see, but I don't know, but we did have a couple of, I guess you call them minor signings. The one guy here did have 32 saves. Brad Boxberger got a deal with the Royals. What do they say? It says $2.2 million guaranteed along with $1 million in incentives. So, it looks like, he'll be the Royals closer next year. So he signed on. I saw that the Pirates inked Tom Kohler to a minor league deal. Kohler's been a solid back of the rotation type of guy and, did some long relief, but I know he's hurt and he's going to miss the majority of the season. So I'm surprised the Pirates didn't go 2 years with it so they could actually get something out of him, because he's probably going to be rehabbing till after the All-Star break, but okay. And then the Twins added a pair of left-handed relievers. They picked up the Tim Collins and Justin Nicolino, with the invite to spring training. I know Collins kind of bubbled up out of the blue in the Royals bullpen a couple years ago, but he got shipped off to Washington last year. I think it was in the Kelvin Herrera deal, and he kind of struggled. He posted a 4.37 ERA, in his appearances there. So I don't know. I guess they're just looking for some, maybe another left-handed reliever to plug into the bullpen, because I think they only have one. Because they, the one guy is, and I always butcher this name, Adalberto Mejia, but he's going to be a starter. So really, Taylor Rogers is the only left-handed arm in the bullpen. They have a couple guys who haven't pitched in the majors yet, so maybe they're looking. You think they're just looking for a guy with major league experience? Or at least I'm kind of thinking that's where they're headed there. But Minnesota's slowly but surely putting an interesting roster together. I mean, obviously they're not in the Yankee, Red Sox, Astro market, but they might be able to shake Cleveland up a little bit and give them a little bit of a scare. We'll have to see, how that kind of works out for them. But it's something interesting. At least they're trying to, make some type of moves there. But we'll see if either of these guys end up making the team or, what pieces they actually play. But yeah, those are some of the, I guess you would describe them as minor signings. I did miss one. The Nationals decided to bring Jeremy Hellickson back. He was actually really solid for them, except I think he got hurt last year. So it's $1.3 million, but the contract can go to $4 million if he hits all his incentives. But yeah, he was, he was actually a little bit of their lifeline last year when they really had some struggles. He did make 19 starts. He was 5-3 with a 3.45 ERA. So we'll see if he can, you know, if they need him to give him something. I know they added, did they sign Sanchez? Obviously, I know they got Patrick Corbin, but I think they brought in Anibal Sanchez, and I'm not sure who else, but they've had some rotation injury issue there anyway. So I guess it's not a bad guy to have, you know, plugged in. Right now they have him plugged in at number five, so not a bad pickup for a five spot, right?
No, not at all.
So, you know, especially, you know, even if he just pitches like he did last year, you know, that would be perfect for a number five guy to deal with. So we'll see if they can get that out of them. But, yeah, those were, you know, pretty much, I believe, the majority of the signings today. You know, still nothing big or huge. But slowly but surely, you know, the rosters are taking shape. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. So, but, yeah, I don't, obviously, Dan, you know, this is one of the stories that keep popping up, and the Lakers seem to continue to find their way into the news with all this. And I thought it was kind of humorous last night from watching the highlights. The Lakers got beat by, I think it was 42 points last night. Now, they got beat by the Indiana Pacers, and you think, oh, well, that's no big deal. You know, the Pacers are a really good team. They're in the playoffs right now. You know, in the Eastern Conference, except for the fact that the Pacers are without their best player because Victor Oladipo was out for the season. So they wiped that, just wiped the Lakers out. And one of the humorous things I saw, Dan, I don't know if you caught this highlight or maybe it'll pop up somewhere, is during the game while they're getting destroyed, LeBron is sitting at the very far end of the Lakers bench, as far away as he can get from everybody else. He's literally got five seats in between him and the rest of his teammates. So I just thought that was kind of an embarrassment for a guy who's supposed to be a team leader, that he, you know, in a blowout, he just had no interest in talking to his teammates.
That's not his team yet.
Oh, no, it is. You know, they're doing everything for him. So it's definitely his team.
They're not all his guys.
So, you know, well, they went out and, you know, they got a guy for him today. You know, they picked up, I think it's Reggie Bullock. I want to double check the name here as I pull this article up real quick. Yes, they got Reggie Bullock from the Detroit Pistons. They sent the Pistons. Boy, Dan, I keep getting these names. Siva Tolslav. That's the first name, actually. And then the last name is Mykaluka, and a second-round draft pick to the Pistons in exchange for Reggie Bullock. So, you know, they wrapped that one up for LeBron, and obviously, you know, they're still trying to work out the Anthony Davis deal. But, you know, I know, you know, one of the Lakers' big complaints was that the Pelicans were asking for so much. Now, this is one of those things, Dan, that I've got nothing to do, so I'm paying attention to it. The Philadelphia 76ers gave up four draft picks along with some players to acquire Tobias Harris. Now, Harris is a solid NBA player, mm-hmm. but he's not Anthony Davis. Here's the deal in whole. Philadelphia gets Tobias Harris, Boban, who really just needs to go by one name, but his last name is Marjanovic, and Mike Scott. In return, the Clippers get Landry Shamet, Wilson Chandler, Mike Muscala, two first-round picks, And then what's described as a number of other resources, which I believe turned out to be 2 second-round picks. Yeah, here it is, further down in the article. They get 2020 picks and second-round picks in 2021 and 2023. So yeah, they got all this basically just for Tobias Harris. If they gave that up to get him, maybe the Pelicans aren't asking too much for Anthony Davis. So, but yeah, it looks like, you know, looks like the Pistons are clearly kind of selling here at the deadline. You know, they shipped Bullock off to Los Angeles to the Lakers, and then they also sent Stanley Johnson to the Bucks for Thon Maker. So, you know, it looks like they're just kind of getting rid of pieces and see if they can maybe find themselves in the lottery last year. I have to look up this guy the Pistons got from the Lakers because I honestly don't even know if he's playing in the NBA. So maybe he is. Let me see. Oh, yeah, he is. He's actually played 39 games for the Lakers. He averages 3.3 points a game in about 11 minutes. So there you go. I was wrong.
Well, and did you hear the kind of uproar from Chicago media with Anthony Davis threw out there that of the teams he'd like to go to, the Bucks were on that list?
Oh, no, I didn't hear that. But, you know, again, why would he want to come to the Bulls? You know, give me a reason for him to come to Chicago, and I would be upset about it too.
Well, you know, he grew up here. And
play with Jabari Parker.
You're supposed to want to play here because he was born in 93 and I'm sure was at every game watching Jordan.
Yeah. Well, you do notice, Dan, that the only time guys want to play for their home teams is when they're good.
Yeah.
Not too many guys sign with their former team when they're in the lottery. You know, now LeBron was an exception, but he knew he could go in there and remake the franchise any way he wanted to. So,
and he did.
You know, that, yeah, you know, and look where they are now because of it. He's got them so strapped that they can't do anything. But, you know, they tried. They did everything they could to try to hang on to him, but obviously he had no interest in staying because they don't make movies in Cleveland. So... but yeah, you know, it's, you know, again, why come to Chicago? You know, this is a bad
the
team.
Weather.
They're going to be a bad team for a while. So yeah, you know.
Because the tax rate is pretty.
Yeah, you know, if you know, yeah, that's sadly, that's not even close. You go to Miami where there is no tax. So, you know. You know, that's just one of those things.
It's all right. We'll get John Wall here.
Probably. So, but here you go, Dan. I know you've always had an interest in buying an NBA franchise. So
yeah.
I have what they're worth. According to Forbes, the Knicks actually topped the list, Dan. It's humorous that a team could suck this much and still be the most valued one in the NBA. $4 billion is what the Knicks are valued at.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
Does that not include the fact that the owner owns the Madison Square Garden, too?
You know, it doesn't explain really, does it explain at all how they came up with their value? Yeah, it doesn't really say how they're... How they did it. It's just how Forbes rated it. So you know, you would have to dig in to kind of figure out how they got their ratings. But the Knicks are one. The Lakers are two at 3.7 billion. The Warriors are three at 3.5. Then to round out the top five, it's the Bulls at 2.9 and the Celtics at 2.8. So, and then way down at the bottom, Dan, it's the Memphis Grizzlies, but they're still valued at $1.2 billion.
Oh,
yeah. So, there you go. You want
to
buy an NBA team? Yes. But, yeah, they do list the 76ers made the biggest move up. They went from 21st to 12th. And no real surprise, Cleveland was the franchise that lost the most. They went from 15th to 25th. So, but, yeah,
that's just kind of
nuts that the Knicks are worth $4 billion. So, hell, I think if I was the guy, I would sell them and just get on with my life.
Yeah. Maybe they're still selling a lot of Patrick Ewing jerseys.
Yeah, maybe. John Starks, you know, somebody like that. You know, they must be doing something for him to hang on to them. It's not winning, but they must be doing something.
Yeah. It's part of owning the garden.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm sure obviously he does okay with, you know, whatever else goes on there when the Knicks aren't there, because they have, you know, stuff going on year round. But, yeah, I just couldn't see paying $4 billion to own the Knicks. You just might as well light the money on fire, shouldn't you?
So maniac. I don't think it's that bad.
Yeah.
But then in reality, of most teams, the owner just the guy who should be sitting up in the owner's box, not the guy kicking former players out and banning them and telling the team how to run.
I think. If you're a former, you know, NBA player and you have a little experience like that, you know, even if you're just a, you know, you were a borderline NBA guy and you know a little bit about the game, it's not as bad when you step in and kind of like, hey, you know, let's try this or that. But, yeah, you get these clowns who – I don't know how they stumbled into their money. I don't know how Dolan made his money, but, you know, yeah, he's got absolutely no clue about what goes on in the NBA, but obviously he thinks he does. And you just wish he would, you know, go away.
Yeah. Well, and the interesting thing is, though, when you bring up the billionaire word, you know, it's very interesting that the ones that who could buy these teams with their own bank account in an instant. Microsoft Word, was it Bill Gates, Bezos? You know, these guys don't even step into the realm of sports.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah, you wonder. I mean, I guess, you know, they just don't have any interest or, you know, however it works out. Or, you know, maybe a guy like Warren Buffett just doesn't see it as a moneymaker.
Yeah, well, that's kind of my point. I would say if I had another money, I'd still buy it.
Yeah.
I'd buy the White Sox.
Oh, well, Remember, anytime you want to go listen to it, that's TuneIn.com.